You'll stand in honor of God's word. Now you'll notice my Bible's laying over here because of my eyesight. I have it all written down, so don't think I'm not reading God's word. I usually open it up, fake people out, but I'm not going to today. Hebrews 11, 1 through 4. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Will your life speak when you're gone? Will your life speak when you're gone? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, every time I get an opportunity to preach, I thank you for it. There were times that I didn't know if I'd preach again. God, I don't know if I'll get to preach again tomorrow. I don't know if I'll get to preach again next week. God, I pray that you'd help me this morning. Help me to use the opportunity that I've been given to preach and to glorify you. And God, we're going to thank you for all you do for us today. Help us to hear from you this morning. God, we've already heard from you today. Lord, the preaching yesterday was great. Lord, I heard from you. Lord, I pray you'd help to use this message for us to hear from you today. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The bulk of the messages, or the message I was preparing, is preparing us to answer. Let me start over. I didn't say that right. The bulk of this message is preparing us to answer that question. Will your life matter when you're gone? And due to time, I'm going to get right to it. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A quote from Warren W. Wiersbe's Bible Exposition Commentary says this, and he says it much better than I could say it. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's Word in spite of circumstances and consequences. True Bible faith is confident obedience. It means obeying. Brother Dixon and preacher and I and one of my sons was at breakfast this morning and we were talking and Brother Dixon made this statement. He said at one time we was at revival and he said, I knew in my heart, just like Brother Broughton knew in his heart, that he was supposed to preach yesterday, and he said he's never done that before and he did it because God spoke to his heart. Regardless of consequences or circumstances, he obeyed. And I'm glad he did. Because it spoke to my heart. Brother Dixon said he went up one day and he told, at a revival, he told Brother Broughton, he said, the Lord told me to come sit up here with you today. He said, it'd be like you sitting there talking to me and telling me you're supposed to do that. He said, so I obeyed. He said, I thought people think I was crazy. He obeyed and during the message, he said that there was a big pot up there and Brother Soros was preaching. He told Brother Soros, said, Brother Dixon, get in that pot. Brother Dixon said, I got in there. And Brother Soros said, no, get down in it. I mean all the way. So he did. He said, I was in there the whole time Brother Soros preached. He said, service is over. Picked up out of that pot and my son was running down the altar to get saved because he obeyed. Regardless of circumstance or consequence. Now this is still Warren Wiersbe speaking. He says, God speaks and we hear His Word. We trust His Word and act on it no matter what the circumstances are or what the consequences may be. The circumstances may be impossible and the consequences frightening and unknown. But we obey God's Word just the same and believe Him to do what is right and what is best. I believe the King James Bible. It's the Word of God. It's not just the Word of God, it's the very Word of God. I study words and use God's Word to get a better understanding of what His Word is saying for me to be able to understand. I want to know exactly what words mean. So I get a concordance and I look in it and I want to know what substance means. I want to know what evidence means. Because I know what they mean. But I want to study them to know exactly what they mean and what they mean for me. So many of the ideas, definitions of what I can be preaching is from Strong's Concordance. The word faith, according to Mr. Strong, is the conviction that God exists and is the center and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith! Now, I know I'm preaching to preachers, but do you have it? You know, you can say you have it. I can say a lot of things, but do you have it? Are you in the faith? Are you a believer? Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Before you can have faith and understand, before you can have faith and understand it, you have to accept Christ as Savior and be born again, have a foundation of faith by His grace and mercy. Faith, what is it according to the Word of God? It's a substance of things hoped for. Mr. Strong says, it's the thing put under. It's the foundation. It's the substructure. Yeah. That's what substance is. Yeah. It's our foundation. It's our faith. Yeah. And Mr. Strong says, it's that which has foundation is firm. That which has actual existence. A substance. Real being. He also says, it's to hope. In a religious sense, to wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. Hopefully to trust in. Bible faith provides us some things. It provides us faith with substance. Faith is our foundation. It's our hope. According to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking at that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Faith is our hope. We are saved now, and our salvation comes at death. I know we use the words differently, but our salvation comes when we pass from this life unto the next. And the only way you're going to do that is if you're saved. And you know you're saved. Yeah. Death will come knocking. It cannot be escaped unless the rapture comes, and it could be today. He could come back for us today. He could come. Do you believe it? What He came to come today? You know, I know we get up and we preach and we say it. A lot of times I don't think we really believe He might come today. Now, I'm speaking for me. I know I'm preaching to preachers, and they're like, "Well, you're crazy. I think He'd come today." Well, He could. But sometimes we live our life in a way that we don't really believe it. Without faith, there is no hope in death or the rapture. Don't leave this world with a question. What do you mean, Brother Rodney? What I mean is when death comes, don't leave this world with your family questioning if you had faith or not. I remember being at my wife's grandpa's funeral. Her uncle was yelling and screaming, "I'm never going to see him again. I'm never going to see him again." He was a man that had no hope. Marilyn believed her grandpa was saved. Her uncle is not. He had no hope. The other Sunday, like a few Sundays ago at church, Miss Neal, older lady at our church, like this lady right here that gave her testimony. She said, "I don't want anybody to question. I want my family to know that when I pass from this life, I'm going to go to heaven." Right. It's a blessing for me to hear her speak. I like it. To me, it's as good as preaching. She said, "Well, I don't want to preach. We just go ahead, honey. You're doing fine." Faith gives us hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 and 13 says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren." I love that statement. "I would not have you ignorant, brethren." It says that in the Bible a lot of places. I think I studied the other day, it was 6. "Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope," like Marilyn's uncle. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which remain alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them." I get ahead of myself. "Then we which are alive and together with them in the clouds to meet them, the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The next thing faith provides us is evidence of things not seen. By faith we believe the world was spoken into existence. By faith we believe there is a God, His Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and they are three in one. And that's hard to explain. The three in one. But we believe it. We believe that there should be evidence, a foundation in you according to 1 Corinthians 3:10. "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For another foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if a man build upon his foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work thereupon, if any man's works abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved as yet by fire." That's a lot to think on. What are your works going to be? You get there. Everybody may think that you're building gold, silver, and precious stones, but you may be building wood, hay, and stubble, and it's all going to burn up. First, he says, Mr. Strong says, it's a proof that which thing is provided or tested, proved or tested. Our works are going to be tested by fire. A conviction, which is something you would die for. Not a preference. Talked about that a lot in the last day. Secondly, he says evidence is that which has been done, a deed, or an accomplished test, or fact. A matter, a question, an affair, specifically in a forensic sense. A matter of law, a case, a suit. Faith that is real is faith that has foundation, that have evidence that it is real in you. Is there any evidence that your faith is in you? Do you have any evidence? The Bible says there should be some. I'm going to talk about a man in a few minutes named Linville Tarter. They say, I've never heard Brother Linville say it, but they say that he'd say, "I'm not supposed to judge folks, but it says I can inspect their fruit." He said, "I know if it's good or bad." You know, a lot of people think they're going to be okay. They think they go to church on Sunday. They think they show up and they do their thing and they sear their conscience and they'll go and live however they want Monday through Saturday. And then they show up again on Sunday and it ain't nothing. I don't know if they're saved or lost, but the fruit of their life says they're lost. I have family that do that. Verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. For by it a foundation has substance and evidence. It is how the elders obtained a good report. The names of Hebrews 11 are in the Word of God, shall never pass away. We've talked about for the last day, Brother Broughton, the other preachers, have preached on men that have stood, regardless of circumstances or consequences, and many times had to give their life. Would you? I hope I would, but I don't know. Not been tested that far. Hope I don't have to, but I think it's coming. I think it's coming. Now here's where I wanted to get to. So if you've been asleep and you think, man, this preacher, he's crazy or he's not really doing that great of a job, wake up for a minute and listen. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By Abel's foundation, faith that was taught him by his father, he knew how to approach God. Cain and Abel were both taught the same thing and were completely opposite in the way they approach God. You can have two children, you can teach them the same thing, but they may not even be the same when it comes to how they approach God. You can teach them the same, and one can stray, and one may not. It's been that way from the beginning. My children are young. I teach them now, you're going to have to make choices. My son Levi, he has to choose. My son Samuel, he has to choose. My son Luke, he has to choose. And they have to start making choices now. When we train our children, and we will make mistakes, it's up to them to choose. I'm almost done. Last part of verse 4 says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. There would have evidence that Abel had foundation faith. The witness or testimony of his life and that he came to God, God's way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they're Baptist. I don't care if they're Muslim. I don't care if they're Catholic. They have to come His way. Yes, sir. They may think they can come however they want. Bible says they have to come His way. Yes, right. 4C, last part. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Now I got this part of this message. All the first part is just getting to here. I got this message. Listen to Brother Broughton talk about a man named Linville Tarter, and we'll talk about him in a minute. He wouldn't want me to talk about him. He's dead. Brother Linville wouldn't want me to say anything about him. Faith that is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that has substance and evidence, will speak when you are dead.
Yes, it will.
It will be a faith that has a foundation, that has two kinds of evidence that will be tested by fire. The evidence of your faith will be gold, silver, and precious stones that will stand up to the fire. Or the evidence of your faith is wood, hay, and stubble, and it will burn. Though you're saved. If our faith is going to speak when we are dead, it will have three qualities. First, we will speak through our life. The way we live and our witness outside of these walls speak. I can say a lot of stuff in my mouth. I can get up here and preach, but the way I live is what's going to speak. How I walk and what I do is way more important than what I say. A faith that has a foundation of substance and evidence. Second, we'll speak through our children. The way we live Monday to Saturday has the greatest effect on our children. I can tell my boys, boys, we don't do that. Boys, we don't act that way. Boys, we don't do those things. Boys, we don't watch that. Boys, we don't. But if I watch it, I've said we don't do that, but if I watch it, they see. They ain't done. My actions affect my family. And the way I live affects my wife and children. We can put on a show many times in front of people. However, our children watch us and know us, and they know how we live. And what we do in front of them influences them more of what we say to them with our mouth. However, it is still their choice. Your children still have to choose when they leave our homes. Thirdly, we'll speak through our ministries. And some of you may be sitting here today and you'll say, Brother Rodney, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. You know what the funny thing is that preachers and missionaries and all kinds of folks like Brother Richens and Brother Broughton, myself, and other preachers in this room aren't much different than you. Except they'll answer differently to Him for what they do. Regardless, we all have a ministry, or should have a ministry, to a lost and dying world around us. I want to give us two examples of people who are dead, yet speaketh, and neither one of them are preachers. And the first one's Linville Tarter. Now, Linville Tarter was a good man. When I seen Brother Linville Tarter and he was alive, I knew where he sat in church, and about every service he was there, he would be at the altar. Because he knew him. Brother Linville knew Brother Linville. But Brother Tarter gave the land where Saline Baptist Church sits, if I understand it correctly. Is that right, preacher? He gave the land where Saline Christian School sits, if I understand it correctly. He gave the land where Camp Canaan sits, though he's dead. Yet he speaketh. Whether you know him or not, he wouldn't care. He didn't give it so that Brother Rodney or a preacher would get up and say Linville Tarter's name, and so he wouldn't wait. If he was alive, he wouldn't want me to say his name. He wouldn't want you to know. But though he's dead, he speaks. I want to be like Linville Tarter. There's another person I want to tell you about. Her name is Lorelei Hill. Lorelei, you say, well, Brother Rodney, you don't understand. I'm a shut-in. I can't really do a whole lot. Lorelei Hill, as far as I know, hadn't left her house in 30 years before she passed away. Hadn't passed through the threshold of the door. But she had a greater ministry than most preachers I know. She would pray. That's a big ministry. What about you, preacher? Do you pray? How could you ask me such a question? Just asking. You don't have to get mad about it. Do you pray? I try to, but I don't pray like I should. She would send letters and cards and music. My wife, when she was pregnant with Levi, I was a youth director at Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. She was on bed rest for 2 months. First thing she got was a card from Miss Lorelei Hill, who knew how to be sick and what it felt like. And she would be so encouraging. Oh, Miss Marilyn, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult, but just know Jesus is there. I mean, she would write the sweetest letter. You'd never know she's sick. She never complained about not leaving her home. How would you respond if you couldn't leave your home? I know how I responded when I was just in a wheelchair for 2 months. If you think you have it bad, and I thought I've had it bad, and you would look at me and you think, oh, man, Brother Rodney, you've had... No. I'm walking. I can move. There's days I can't walk. There's times it's hard. There's a lot more people who have it a lot harder than me. A lot more people. I'm thankful when I can get up every day and walk. You ever been thankful for walking? I'm thankful when I can get up and preach. Preacher, have you ever been thankful when you can preach the Word of God? Every time. I'm thankful when I can get up and share God's Word, and I don't do it like I should, and I'm not the best preacher, and I don't really care. I'm just glad when I get up and say, thus saith the Lord. You ought to be thankful every time you get in the pulpit because you don't know that you'll be in it again. And when you break open this Word and you tell people, It's a precious thing to preach this book. I never thought I'd preach in Creole again, and I got to do it. Never thought I'd be in Haiti again because of my health. I got to preach in Creole. Don't know if I'll get to do it again. Planning on it. Just because you plan on it don't mean it's going to happen. I never thought I'd be sick. Never planned on being in a wheelchair. I never planned on having to use a cane. I never planned on a lot of stuff. But if you don't have a faith that has a foundation, and you don't have a God that will take care of you, and you don't believe this book, things get tough. Gets real hard. Brother Broughton knows. He knows when I wouldn't come to church. I mean, for a year. When I first came there, I wish I wouldn't have told him this when I told him. I said, Brother Broughton, I don't want to do anything. You remember that? I wish I never told him that. Because God set me on a shelf. He said, you don't want to do anything. I won't let you do anything. I won't let you preach. I won't let you walk. I won't let you hunt. I won't let you play with your children. And yesterday, when Brother Broughton was done, I said, Lord, thank you for giving me a mess, because I wouldn't be where you want me if I didn't have it. I want my life to speak when I'm gone. I'm just thankful I get to preach one more time. I'm just thankful I get to hear preaching. I didn't know if I'd get to preach this week. I'm sure glad I got to. When I was sitting back there today, I thought, I'm going to take my phone off right now because I think I'm going to preach. Now, it's not being proud. I thought, no, if I do, my wife will look at me like I'm stupid. She does that often. I know your guys' wives don't look at you that way. Mine does that often. Why? Because I'm stupid. But I love my wife. She put up with a whole lot. My children have to put up with a whole lot. Because I got mean. Just be thankful. Do I wish somebody to get MS? No. Wouldn't wish that about anybody. But if God wants you to have it, you need to get it. Because He can put you where He wants you, regardless of circumstances or consequences. He'll have you where He wants you. Brother Richard, I'm done.